Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just one announcement before I start this morning. Alfred Rangnow fell in his home on Friday night. He is currently at Methodist Hospital, Stone Oak, in San Antonio. So please keep him in your prayers. Our reading this morning, our first reading is from the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet in an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you into your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord. Our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of John, beginning in the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters went to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in a day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in a night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. The Gospel of the Lord. This morning, our reading from Ezekiel. On the Valley of the Bones, as they call it. And as we read that, the picture that God gives us, reading from Ezekiel, is not a scene that we would want to witness in person. A valley of bones doesn't sound like something I'd want to see anyhow, but God was looking to deliver a message. Picture it, if you will, the spiritual condition of God's own people. God said, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." God was telling Ezekiel that the Israelites were spiritually dead, that they were unable to serve God in any way. The story of the bones was a record of their sinful rebellion against God and their total disregard for His Word. Sin had killed them. Their sins had sucked the spiritual life out of them. The second point we should receive from this story is the miracle that gave them new life. The picture of what God could and would do among His people through His Word and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The same message applies to us today. The story is calling out to us, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The story of the bones came about after the capture and destruction of Jerusalem, including the temple. Before the fall of Jerusalem, Ezekiel had proclaimed God's judgment of sin and called the Israelites to repentance. Now he is called upon to proclaim a message of consolation and hope. The spiritual danger after the fall of Jerusalem was not stubborn and proud rebellion, but utter hopelessness and despair. Ezekiel was to proclaim the hope of God's forgiving grace and His promise of salvation. The bones didn't have a pleasant story to tell. The Israelites' lifestyle and environment led to their spiritual death. Instead of the milk and meat of God's word, the Israelites fed on junk food of human ideas and pagan philosophies. They starved themselves of the truth that God had revealed to them and wouldn't drink from the water of life that God offered. They chose to listen to the lying false prophets and were spiritually malnourished. Rather than living their lives according to God's will, they flocked to sin like moths, like moths to a bright light. Their love for sinful thoughts, words, and actions sucked the spiritual life out of them. They lived like their pagan neighbors for so long that in time they became just like them, a lifeless pile of dry bones. And once God's people came set in their rebellious ways, and they no longer showed any signs of spiritual life, God unleashed His punishment on them. He allowed the Babylonians to come in and destroy Jerusalem, including the temple. Ezekiel's vision of a once great army reduced to dry bones was not far from what had actually happened in Judah. They had been soundlessly defeated and taken into captivity. That's why they were saying, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off." Although they could ignore God when everything was going well, they couldn't ignore Him when their nation was in ruin and their lives were threatened. They needed to see what they had become. They were dry bones. That was the message in the Valley of the Dry Bones that Ezekiel saw. They told the story of God's people. They had been great in number and strong in faith. They were useful to God and served Him faithfully. But in time, they let sin steal their spiritual life, and it became nothing more than a pile of bones. As dry bones, they needed to hear the word of the Lord declare that truth to them. It's been said that those who ignore history are condemned to repeat it. I don't think any of us would argue with the fact that we are by nature dead in sin and therefore dry bones. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Jesus said in John 3, 6, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And in Romans 8, Paul declares, "The mind of a sinful man is death. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." Although they were born with a body that was alive, we were spiritually dead as the bones in Ezekiel's vision. But by God's grace, we were made alive. Perhaps in infancy, we were given spiritual life through holy baptism. Maybe it was through a friend or a relative who brought us to the life-giving Word of God that we were made alive. But how are we doing right now? As God looks at our lives this morning, is he looking at a bunch of dry bones or an army of faithful soldiers? Is our congregation like Israel when Ezekiel saw his vision? The fact that we are here this morning receiving God's word and responding to it tells us that we are not completely dead, but we may have one foot in the grave. If we were giving our soul to the junk food of human ideas and philosophies, do we receive our recommended daily allowance of God's law and gospel? Are we living our life in such a way that we are killing our soul? Think of the poison that we ingest through television programs, movies, and the radio. Humanism tells us that we should listen to ourselves. Materialism tells us that we need more money and more things. Existentialism tells us that there is no right or wrong. If we are listening to those philosophies, they will steal our spiritual life and send us to the bone pile. That is the word of warning that the Lord is sending to us through Ezekiel's prophecy. And then let us consider how our own sins make us dry bones in God's sight. God gives us his name as a blessing, and we use it to curse or swear falsely. We leave his powerful word unread and unapplied. He places authorities in our lives to bless us, but we rebel against them and end up robbing ourselves of those blessings. We violate God's plan for marriage and his will for us as a husband and a wife. Instead of being content with the material blessings he gives us, we let those things lead us astray. Our sins make us lifeless, useless, and miserable. By our actions, we make ourselves just like the dry bones that Ezekiel saw. We let our sins steal our spiritual life. The vision that Ezekiel saw points that truth out to us. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." The result of God's word being preached to the dry bones would be miraculous. God made his point through the vision he gave to Ezekiel. Dry bones can live. Because God is the giver of life, he can give life to dry bones. But that fact wasn't as important as the means by which the Lord gave life to the dry bones. It was through his word. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit that he sent in them. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God is calling out to us just as he once called out to his Old Testament people. Let us not reject his word and remain in spiritual deadness. May we say with a sincere heart what King David said in the 51st Psalm, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." God will do that for us if we don't harden our hearts to his word. Dry bones, hear the word of God. Only God's word can give life to dry bones. We have that assurance through these words that Ezekiel recorded. The bones in the vision that Ezekiel saw show how sin steals spiritual life. They point to the Holy Spirit as the source of new life. Let us take to heart the message in these dry bones. Let us pray. Almighty God, look favorably upon your family. Graciously rule our bodies, lest we are enticed to love the world, and guard our spirits, lest we fail to recognize your love. Grant us, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Until we can gather together in our beautiful church building. Amen.